Amen. That was a blessing. Thank you. Beautiful song. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Of course, we've been talking about Vacation Bible School. The King is coming. And really spent most of the month of June talking about that and many messages in that. And I, of course, come to Matthew 24 and much prophecy in that. But I want to call your attention to just a couple of verses here, Matthew 24, verse 45, and many of these passages in Matthew 24, different parables, different stories, all of them indicating, talking about the coming of the Lord and being ready, being prepared for that. And here in Matthew 24, verse 45, he asks this question, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." He says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. But I get my title for my message out of verse 45 and the little words there, a faithful servant. A faithful servant I want to talk to you about tonight. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. And that you'll speak to our hearts. Help us to know, Lord, that we need to be faithful. We need to be a faithful servant. And just like in this passage, just like in Matthew 24, all of it, Lord, it seems that you are looking for some folks in the end times, the last times, to be faithful. And God, maybe this is the last time. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Help us, God, to be faithful, please. I pray you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. A faithful servant. And he says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What's he doing? He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's doing what he was told to do. He's doing his job. He's a faithful servant. And I said years ago, I came up with my own little quote or my own saying that is, faithful servants don't have to work at being faithful because they just are. They're just always there. It's not something they work at. It's their character. It is how they are. And I have some characteristics I think that I think about, and I especially think about during the last times. Again, I don't know if it's last times or not. I know it's a lot closer to Jesus coming than it was last week. Amen. It's a lot closer than it was certainly 2,000 years ago. I believe he could come at any time. I believe prophecy indicates that he could come at any time. And we need to be faithful. That's what Matthew 24 is about. Be prepared. Be ready. If you're lost, get saved. If you're not right with God, get right with God. If you're a servant, be a faithful servant. Be busy doing what God wants you to do. Be active. Be doing the job that God has called you to do. I'm afraid that many, when Jesus comes, will not be busy doing what they should be doing. You know, sometimes we get so busy watching, we don't work while we watch. Amen. And that happens all the time. You know, I think about, for example, when I go to pastor school and my wife is home, and this has happened now for many, many years. I don't know exactly how many years I've gone, but I'm gone for usually just about a week. And you know, she's looking forward to me coming back. But she doesn't sit at the window and gaze. I mean, if she sits at the window starting on Monday and just gazes, oh, I just can't wait for my husband to return, though I know that's in her heart. But if she did that, then what about the vacuuming? What about the dishes? What about the bed getting made? What about all the work that has to be done that she is supposed to do? You say, oh, I'm just longing for Jesus' return. But while you're longing, are you faithful doing what he wanted you to do before he returns? He does not want us all to be gazing when he comes back. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to be doing what we're supposed to do. Now, certainly, while you're doing, you should be looking. Certainly, while you're doing what he wants you to do, while you're carrying out the duties that God has called you to do, he wants you to be watching for him. You know, as you run your bus route, glance out every now and then and see if he might be coming. As you teach your Sunday school class, peek out the window and see, maybe he's coming. I'm just saying, while we wait on Jesus' return, oh, the King is coming. Let's be busy. Let's be this faithful servant. And here, I believe our are just some characteristics that I have found in folks that are faithful. The first one is they're set apart. They're set apart. In other words, they have determined they're going to do something. They have set themselves aside and said, this is my job. You've heard of a faithful Sunday school teacher. The Baileys are faithful bus captains. I mean, just week after week after week after week, they're on their bus route. Vacation Bible school after vacation Bible school, all the chaos, they're there. Now, that didn't happen by accident. They set themselves apart. They said, we will be this, and we will do this on Sunday mornings, and we will visit our routes during the week, and we will do this crazy thing during vacation Bible school, and they set themselves apart. We need some folks who will set themselves apart, who will say, look, this is what God wants me to do. This is what I will do. And I'm going to tell you, that's how you become faithful and you don't have to work at it. You've just decided, I'm set apart to do this. I'm thinking of a Sunday school teacher. I'm thinking of a Christian school teacher. I'm thinking of pastors. I'm thinking of a missionary. I'm thinking about folks who say, okay, this is what God wants me to do, and I am sanctifying myself. I am setting myself apart. This is what I'm going to do. This is for me. This is my job. Can be an usher. Can be a nursery worker. This is my job. This is what I'm going to do. It's like Kathy Morin. We pass out the sheets for the fair ministry. And before she even looks at the sheet, she's got her name everywhere. And found out she was going to be serving Kool-Aid. And scratched her name out real quick. But you know, it's just one of those, hey, I'm set apart to win souls. I'm set apart, and I've set myself, I'm going to do this. And she decided, I will win souls during fair week. And if my husband is in the hospital, I'll win souls. And if he's in a nursing home, I'll win souls. How does she do it? I'll tell you how she did it. Long time ago, she set herself apart. She said, God, here's where I am, and this is what I'm going to do. Now, you don't do anything until you just decide, this is what I'm going to do. Look at Romans 12:1, and we know it, and we've memorized it. But sad to say, sometimes we just sort of, I know that verse, and we don't care about it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is he saying? He's saying, set yourself apart. Present your body. God, here am I. This is what I'll do. And I'll do it faithfully. I'm not even thinking about faith. I'm just saying, God, this is my job. This is what I'm going to do. It's a matter of setting yourself apart. It is a matter of presenting yourself. I like this. A living sacrifice. Not, God doesn't want you dead. God doesn't want you to lay on the altar and die. God wants you to live and do something for Him. We have shepherds workers every week, all the time, set themselves. You know, long ago, they said, this is what God wants me to do. Are you listening to me? This is God's will for my life. This is what I'm going to do. And they're always there. And they're always in every activity of the shepherd. They're just, somebody says, how do they do that? It's not a matter of how they do it. It's not because they have to work it up. It's because they, a long time ago, said, this is what I'm supposed to do. And they set themselves apart to do that very thing. Judges 5 and verse 2. Notice what it says here. Judges 5, 2. And this is all over the Old Testament. This same kind of language. Same kind of an idea. Judges 5 and verse 2. And look what it says. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. Watch what it says. When the people willingly offered themselves. Again, it's your choice. It's like I was preaching this morning. One of the great things about our country of America is the fact that we have a choice. And in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, what a blessing we have that we can serve Him. But you have a choice. Willingly offered themselves. Willingly. 2 Chronicles 17. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 16. (Clears throat) And next him was Amaziah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord. You know, here's another guy. He just willingly offered himself. Now, you know where it starts? It starts as we preach to our teenagers all the time. You know, you need to just surrender to God to do anything he wants you to do. Just surrender. You know, surrender. Whether it's full-time Christian service, whatever it is, be a full-time Christian. Amen? Just surrender. Just open your heart so that God can speak to you. So when the preacher says, hey, we need somebody to babysit on soul winning night, you just say, hey, that's me. We need somebody to work in the nursery. You say, that's me. We need somebody to help out on a bus. Oh, that's me. We need somebody in master clubs. Well, that's me. And you're ready. You're willingly offering yourself. Look, that's how people do what they do week after week, month after month, year after year. It's because they're set apart. It's because they willingly made a choice and they decided, this is what I'm going to do. Let me tell you something. God sets us apart to be used. That's called sanctification. We say, God, here's what I'm willing to do. You have made it possible. You've put me in the cabinet of use. You know what I'm talking about? We all have stuff we never use. We have lots of stuff we never use. Amen. I mean, I was just thinking about this. I've got areas. In fact, I was talking to my wife, and I'm going to pick on me, not you. Okay, is that okay? All right. Amen. Always got to ask permission. But I was looking out in the garage, and I've got several boxes that have not been opened since we moved here 7 years ago. And I think, why do I even need those things? I haven't used them for 7 years. They're in that area of no use. Are you listening? You know, I have my toolbox. That's an area of use. I'm not sure exactly why, but it is. It's in an area of use. But I have all those other things, and I've got lots of tools and lots of things. They don't even get looked at. They don't even get considered. They are in the area of no use. God, when He saves you, God puts you in the area of use. Amen. God says, I can use you. Now, if you're, for example, a dirty vessel, He isn't going to use you. But as long as you're a clean vessel, He'll use you. But then you say, God, I'm going to go a little further here. I volunteer to work in the shepherd's department. I volunteer to help out at Vacation Bible School. Every year I'm going to do this. I volunteer to be in the bus ministry. I'm setting myself apart. This is God's will for my life. This is what I'm going to do. Amen. And that's how the church operates. Amen. Listen, God did not save you and I for our use. God saved us for His use. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. His works, not our works. Well, I just want to do my own thing. And that is the biggest problem that you have. Because doing your own thing, you're missing out on His thing. And His thing is the greatest thing for you. Can I remind you here in Matthew, this servant, it was a blessing. God blessed him. God rewarded him for being faithful, a faithful servant when he came. When he came back, God's going to reward. And when he comes back, he is going to reward those who have been faithfully doing what God wanted them to do. Amen. And I want to remind you, God has something for you to do. We like to sit back and say, well, I've done it all. No, you haven't done it all yet because you're still alive. Are you still alive? Check. Make sure. Everything all right, Josh? Still alive? You checked your pulse. Could you find it? You're not going to say anything now, are you? Since that last excited, just overwhelming, joyful sound of, ugh. Yep, I'm alive. Isn't that something how we check our pulse? The fact that you could is a pretty good indication. Anyway, look at so-and-so. Boy, they've been doing this for so many years, but it didn't start just now. It started years ago when they said, this is what I'm going to do. And they set themselves apart for that very thing. You know, really, really, I wish everybody would let this get a hold of you. Because we all would say, you know what, I want to be faithfully serving God when He comes. If He's going to come, I want to be ready. I want to be ready when I go. I want to be ready when He comes. I want to be ready. I want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing when He comes. Just think, just look at your life. Have you ever just set yourself apart to do something for God? Have you ever set yourself apart? Have you set yourself apart to read through your Bible in a year? Have you set yourself apart to have a time that you pray? Set apart. When we talk about this guy, he's faithful in reading his Bible. That's not an accident. He decided he was going to read his Bible every day. Boy, that person is a faithful prayer warrior. Yeah, that's not an accident. It's because they decided a long time ago, I'm going to pray every day. Boy, that is a faithful soul winner. Not an accident. It's because they decided, this is what I'm going to do. And they set themselves apart. Number one, set apart. Number two, self-control. So important. So important to being faithful. You know why you're not faithful? Many, many times, it's because you don't control you. It's because faithfulness comes to a test and it's time to go to church. It's time to run that, get on that bus. It's time to work with the shepherds. And I don't feel like it. Oh, this is on TV. Oh, this is happening. Self-control. Self-control. The ability to say no to self and Satan and say yes to God, no matter what. Self-control. Self-control. 1 Corinthians 6:12. I know a lot of people that are not doing anything for God because they just don't have self-control. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. And these are familiar verses. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. And the Bible says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Huh? That means anything. Nothing is going to control me. No thing is going to control me. Now, obviously, self-control is one thing, but it leads to God's control. Amen? But you better not be a slave to anything. You better not be a slave to your bed. It'll keep you from faithfulness. Amen. You better be very, very careful. That bed is not, you know, oh, people smoke. That's bad. That's bad. What is bad? But so is laziness. So is televisionishness. You know, if that's all you do. That's not a word, is it? I knew that. But if that's all you do, hey, you know, that's going to keep you from faithfulness too. Huh? May not even be watching bad things. It may be, you know, one of the first times that years ago we got rid of our TVs. I just didn't want to keep wasting the time on it. It'll keep you from doing a lot of things you could be doing. Computer is a killer. Huh? Well, I'm researching. Well, I don't care what you're doing. It may not be a bad thing. But I'm telling you, if it keeps you from faithfulness, if it keeps you, you better get control over that thing. Some folks are hooked on all these things. You know another thing that'll kill you in faithfulness is your spending. Because there is such a thing as faithful tithing. Well, we couldn't tithe this week because we had this bill. So in other words, we tell God, God, you could shut off our lights. We don't want consumers to. You say, well, God would. Really? You suppose God's bigger than consumers or littler? I'd take care of God before I took care of consumers. But see, the big thing about that is, don't get in that mess. It's not consumers' fault you got in that mess. It's not God's fault you got in that mess. It's that video game system you had to buy. You know, that seems like it's real. We had to have it. Well, no, you didn't have to have it. I'm just picking on one thing. I'm just saying, you better get control of those things, okay? Because you can't let that keep you from being faithful. Again, are you going to be busy when Jesus comes? Are you going to be doing what He wants you to do when He comes? Notice 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. How do you become a castaway? It's by not being faithful because you are letting your body control everything. Your flesh needs to be under control. Your body needs to be under control. And you need to decide. You need to decide. I'm going to get self-control. Otherwise, you'll never be faithful. What is the reason why we don't read our Bibles? I was tired. And what part of your body? That is your body. Right? Yeah. Why don't we pray? Oh, you know, I was just too tired to pray. Yeah, that's your body. Or, well, I had to eat. That's your body. Well, this was more fun. That's your body. Self-control. People who pray faithfully, they have control. You don't suppose their guts ever growl? Help me out a little bit here. They do. You don't suppose they ever get tired? People who are faithful to church all the time, faithful to Sunday school. Many of you have no clue what Sunday school is. 9:30 every Sunday morning, we have Sunday school. We have classes all over the place. Many of them, really. You'd be amazed what all goes on here. Well, I just can't get up. What is that? That's your body. See? You don't suppose there's other folks here that ever say, oh, man. But they have control over that. And after a while, you get in the habit of doing things and you don't even think about it. I don't know how long it's been where I just didn't want to go to church. You're the pastor. That makes it even harder. It's work. I'm just, you have to, folks, listen to me. If you don't get self-control, you never get where you can be faithful at things. One of the best things about college, Steve Letson can tell you this, I guarantee. You have to be there. You just have to go. You get used. I mean, you don't want to go, do you, Steve? Lots of times. You're so tired. You just, what? 8 o'clock class. Don't they know that I have a life? I mean, seriously, this is one of the best things in the world for me. And then one of the best things too is the idea, especially in a Bible college where you tell them, well, I didn't feel like coming. They don't buy that. They don't just let you off on that. Remember Rob? Well, Dean, I just didn't feel like going. And it's like, you're dead. And you feel bad. It's like, okay, all right. Self-control. You need to get, some of you, it's the only reason you're not faithful to stuff today. It's the only, some of you teenagers, you have no clue what it's like at 5 o'clock here at teen meeting. Well, I don't like it. No, you just like other things more. And you are struggling because of self-control. And I'm telling you, it is such an important part of faithfulness. Again, I'm thinking about Jesus coming, and I want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And self-control is absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. Romans 6 and verse 12. Romans 6, 12. Again, a familiar verse in reference to self-control. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Sin will always keep you from being faithful to the things of God. Where's Brother Caleb? Brother Engel. What in the world are you doing way back there, Brother Engel? Oh, family, I got it. Okay. He misses his wife, so now he's going to be with his family. All right, that's good. The teen program, do you still have points for faithfulness? When it starts, though, that you were doing that the last time? Yes. Crucial. Absolutely crucial. Faithfulness. In other words, if you do this for so long, you get extra points. If you stop, you got to start over. Stuff like that. I love stuff like that. Why? Because it teaches faithfulness. And it gives you some incentive because the devil doesn't want you to be faithful to anything that God does. Ever. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and watch this, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And again, the whole idea here is we have got to get in this battle, and we've got to win this battle and say, I am going to get control over me. Okay, people that smoke, you can call it nicotine addiction or whatever, it's just they've got to get control. Okay, people that are alcoholics, they just have to get control. Again, ultimately, to give the control over to God. I understand that. But somewhere along the line, they've got to decide, okay, I am going to control me. I'm going to quit giving in. You know, people that are having, you're having eating problems, you've got to get control where you can say no. Bad time for the junior class. But, because it was right there. Bless God, if somebody holds a hot fudge sundae at you, tonight you eat it, tomorrow you say no. Tonight I'm saying no. But you have to do that. You know, every night, I suppose there's been periods of our life, every night I had a hot fudge sundae, would you say? Or cookies and milk. I mean, it's just always. Chips Ahoy, glory to God, hallelujah. Now, there came a time I just had to say no. I'm talking about hot fudge sundae. I'm not talking about sissy kind of fudge. I'm not talking black and white package fudge. I'm talking about the real stuff. I'm talking about the thick stuff. You put it in the refrigerator and you can't hardly get it out. And you put it in the microwave and get that all melty and stuff and pour that on the ice cream every night. And I had to always have sprinkles. Do you know that each sprinkle is just sugar? It's just colored sugar. And I'm pouring all that stuff on there. I mean, I'm not. She is. She'd serve it. Here's your sundae, honey. Oh, that was like heaven. But there came a time I just said, I'm not eating it anymore because it's not good for me. I'm fat as a hog. Amen. You say, do you miss it? Oh, especially nights like tonight. Now you pour it on tonight. Actually, just pay. You don't have to eat anything. Just pay and they'll be happy, right? But that's what I'll do. Oh, why did I say that? Yeah, now I have to. You know, God, you do your part, okay? You fight the battle. And it is a battle sometimes. If you smoke, it's a battle. Quitting is a battle. If you overeat, it's a battle. I'm telling you, it's a battle. Eating things that are sugar-free, it's a battle. They taste like plastic. It's just a whole different world. But you got to get in that fight. If the doc says walk, walk. It's a battle. Walk. I don't like to walk. I didn't like to walk either, but doc says you got to walk, so I walk. Amen. You just do what you have to do. And by the way, thank God you can walk, amen. You do your part, God's going to do His part. Psalm 23, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You say, what's so good about that? He maketh me to lie down. He'll do His part. He maketh me to lie down. An American one time was in Syria, and he was watching a shepherd take care of the flock. And this shepherd, he saw him carrying food to sheep that had a broken leg. And he said, how did that lamb break its leg? And shepherd said, well, I broke it. Wow, you broke the lamb's leg? Yeah, he said, I had to break it. It was wayward. It was wandering off and running off everywhere. And he said, now it has to learn to know me as the shepherd and trust me. And so I bring it its food all the time because I had to break its leg. God can make you lie down in a green pasture. Amen. And he can do that. But better, just get self-control. Self-control. Number three is to be set. Boy, we are so wimpy nowadays. I'm serious. God's people need to be set in what they believe. They need to be set. Your mind made up. You've set yourself apart. You have self-control. Now look, you just be determined. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I hope you're writing all these verses down. We are going very, very fast. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. Set. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I determined not to know it. I determined not to believe in Mormonism. I determined not to believe in what the Jehovah Witnesses believe. I determined not to believe in Islam's Allah. I determined not to believe in all these other cults. I determined not to believe in the liberal theology. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I'm set. I'm set. You know, people, there are so many wacky beliefs out there. It is getting scarier and scarier every day. I'm amazed. I hear something weird all the time, something new that people believe. So far away from the things of God. And if you're not set, you will lose your faithfulness because somebody will come along with some of these weird, odd beliefs. It amazes me how many people used to be doing something for God who are not today because they weren't set in their beliefs. Colossians 2, verse 7. Colossians 2, verse 7. The Bible says, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I love that. Rooted and built up. That is set. Ephesians 4, verse 14. And a familiar verse, Ephesians 4, 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You will have a hard time being faithful to the things of God if you're being blown around by every wind of doctrine. You're going to struggle being faithful to the things of God. And there are the wind is blowing in America today with every kind of doctrine and every kind of sleight of men and cunning craftiness. And they're lying in wait to deceive you. And the internet has opened the door for all kinds of methods to keep you and to blow you away from the things of God and the things that you thought maybe you were set upon. Daniel was a young man when he was taken captive to Babylon, but he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He purposed in his heart, I think he purposed in his heart as a child, as a young person, and then when he went to Babylon, he has no parents there, he has no home, he has no youth group, he has no youth pastor, he has no pastor, he's there, he's alone, but he had the purpose in his heart, I'm not going to give in. And I'm telling you folks, you better get set or you will not be faithful. And you'll not be faithful when Jesus comes. Jesus was set to go to Jerusalem. He had his face set as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Certainly, Satan and his demons did all they could to keep that from happening. But he was set. And we need to be set in spiritual areas. Not cocky. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. But convinced that this is the way, and I've made up my mind, and I'm going to do this. Someone said, oh, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for a task equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. And we need to be set that, look, this is what I'm going to... You know, I was watching the Baileys during Bible school this year, and it was very hot. And they're just a little over 50. And it was tough. But you know what I see in the Baileys? I see they're just, this is what we do. And we're not going to stop. We're just going to keep doing this thing. I watch our shepherds workers. I think it is one of the most amazing ministries I've ever seen in my life. If you see the shepherd ministry, you'll see things you've never seen before. You watch people, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, but you'll watch people that are just common everyday folk. We're not trained nurses or trained physical therapists or anything, but you'll watch them take people into the bathroom and take care of them. That amazes me. But I'm going to tell you how they do that week after week after week. They're set. They set themselves apart, said, this is what God wants me to do. But there's a little more to it. You better be set on it because someday it's going to be real nasty what you're supposed to do. Someday it's going to really bother you. And if you don't have self-control and if you're not set, you'll be like so many others, you'll quit. You'll quit the bus ministry. You'll quit your Sunday school class. You'll quit working with the shepherds. You'll quit helping out at Vacation Bible School. You'll quit. And therefore, you won't be faithful anymore. How do people keep going, preacher? How is everybody going to be doing this in the end times? I mean, how's it going to be? I'm telling you, it's going to be people who are set apart. They have self-control. They are set. And number four, they're steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, steadfast, diligent, careful, hardworking. Amen. Steadfast, that you're careful about your work. You know, I think about Noah's Ark, and if you ever read how God told Noah how to... Noah didn't know how to build an ark. I mean, he'd be like you and me. I mean, there are some folks here that are builders that know that kind of stuff, but I wouldn't have a clue. I would have no idea. I mean, if I build an ark, it would leak. And so I would have to trust God. I'd have to be steadfast. Sometimes we think of steadfast as you just keep going. Steadfast is to be careful to do it exactly right. Oh, we should be steadfast. I think about Noah. Every detail that God told him, he did it exactly as God said. Otherwise, the ark sinks. Steadfast. Yes, it's hardworking, but it's also careful. Careful. And we need some folks who are steadfast. That means, you know, we're careful to do it the way God says to do it. And we're hard workers. We just do it. Do right and don't quit. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Steadfast. Steadfast. You know, it's amazing how we have this idea that, I just hope I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing when He comes. But we don't know when He's coming. So what's that mean? We just need to be busy all the time. And just stick with it. Steadfast. And then the last thing is to be sure. Sure. What do you mean? I mean, we can count on you. That's a faithful person. Someone who can be counted on. Someone who's trustworthy, someone who's reliable, sure. One who can be depended on. Every time I think about someone that is sure like that, I think about Job when God said, "Consider my servant Job," to Satan. Boy, what a battle that was. You know, here comes Satan, and you know he's proud, and you know how Satan's going to be in front, and even in front of God, it's like, oh, you know, all you do is protect all these people. Oh, they don't really care about you. And then God says, "Consider my servant Job." God knew he could count on him. Can God count on you? Can God count on you when the offering plate is passed and there's a special offering? And can God count on you that if He tells you to put $25 in, even if it's your last $25, that you'll do it? Can He count on you? I just don't know about that. Well, see. That's the faithful person is a person who's sure. You can count on them. There's somebody that you just know it's all going to be taken care of. Watch me now. King David. What did he start off as? Shepherd. When kings were being picked out, guess who was looked at last? David. He's a shepherd. David, he's a shepherd. Oh, but wait a minute. He faithfully took care of the sheep, didn't he? Did anybody see it? Nope. His brother Eliab, he didn't think much of David. Yet we find out David killed a bear and he killed a lion. But he took care of those sheep. That's not a big deal, is it? No. In fact, in those days, the shepherd, they were kind of looked down upon. So as a shepherd, he was faithful. God said, you know what? Since you're faithful in this little thing, I can count on you in this little thing. He says, there's a big old tall fella. Ugly, nasty. Guy named Goliath. Go down there and see what's going on. And sure enough, there goes David. I love it. You know, here he is. He's a shepherd, but he's faithful. And when the soldiers should have fought Goliath, and they all were cowards, who steps up? David. Did he step up because he was bigger? No. Did he step up because he was badder? No. Did he step up because he had the best armor? No. Why did he step up? Because he's faithful. You can count on him. And so the shepherd kills Goliath. Doesn't it only make sense that God looks at that fella and says, I'll just make him king. We'll just make him the king. Nobody else is that faithful. But it started out being faithful with the sheep. Not to be a big shot. Not to be, he was just, you know, he was just somebody that God could count on. He was sure. Solid. Sure. Now, the question in Matthew 24 is, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Who's that? That's that servant. That's that faithful and wise servant. He's going to be doing. He's going to be busy. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. That's what God's looking for. He's not looking for your talent as much as he's looking for your faithfulness. He's not looking for your ability. He gave you your ability as much as he's looking for your availability. Will you be there? Yeah, you know, our churches are full of people with ability who do nothing. Somebody say amen. I feel alone. It is so true. We've got folks all over. I'm talking about not just this church, but in churches all across the world who have tons of ability, but they're not available. God's looking for some folks who are going to be set apart for his use. Some folks who are going to have self-control so that their flesh doesn't keep them from being used. People who are set, they know their mind is made up, and people that are steadfast to carry that out, and people that are sure, people that God can depend upon. And that is a faithful servant that I believe we need in these end times.